This is Judith Conrad Radio, presenting extraordinary visionary experts in health, wealth, business, and manifesting your dreams come true. And now, here's your host, Judith Conrad, starting your day with the good news.
Yes, it is the good news, and my, do we have astrology hitting us all over. During this day, I have spent an exciting, you know, one of my very favorite places in the whole wide world is the hospital. And then I came home, I had taken my husband over because he had blocked bowels. I got home, and guess what I read in the astrology? We've got Mars retrograde, exactly what was going on. This was came from my wonderful friend, Electra Young, who has a website. I want you to write this down. Signsfromabove.net. It's SignsFrom, above, ABOVE.net. www.signsfromabove.net with Electra Young. And so when I came home, and of course she was my guest last week or and also the week before, and we were talking, I love to talk about astrology. So when I got home, I just laughed and laughed because that's exactly what Mars does. It blocks sometimes the inside. And so with Mars retrograde, which was the 23rd of January, just a couple of days ago, and here we are, and it lasts till about the 13th of April. It's energy turned inward rather than outward. And of course, with blocked bowel, it's about the inward blocking. And of course, everything turned out just fine. And I did get to be in that wonderful presence of the hospital. And I always think of sterile. Yeah, sure. So with Mars retrograde, with this inward movement, and yesterday's program was totally about why am I being driven inside, and all of the tarot cards reflected that, the astrology reflected that. For all of us, it's so important during this time between now and the 13th of April that we go inward and to find out if there are any hidden agendas. Anything where we really want to be out there, want to be noticed, admired, it's not going to fly. And yeah, you can do that. You can be out there, and the most important work goes on inside here. And because they, spirit, God, goddess, all that is, whoever your higher power is, wants you to go inside. And so there's a, for many, there's a lowering of your vitality, loss of direction, maybe a lot of frustration because you want to push that boat up the stream. Guess what? You can't push it up the stream anymore. And as soon as you can let go of what it is you're really here to do, your purpose, and out of that, your mission, what is it you came here to do? And for many, it's changed. It is no longer the same as you had before. And this is, it's Mars retrograde in Virgo. And of course, Virgo is about the details. And, you know, during this time, we have to really pay attention to the details of what's going on inside, not outside. And of course, we're getting ready for taxes about that time, during this time period. So your details, it has to come from within. And I would say, intuitively, I would say, when you're going to get ready to do your taxes, take time and make it a sacred ritual of doing that, because then it will come from within and it won't drain you. It won't take you in a direction where it's frustrating. Because if you've done your taxes in the old, we've got some shifts here changing. We can no longer deduct some of the things we did before. We're entering into a completely new time of freedom. Remember, I talked yesterday about a houseboat where when you push off from shore, there's a temporary freedom there where you're everything good. You just no longer are in the same cycle. You've entered into a truly different place. And any time you're worried, this is the part that I really chuckled about. Virgo governs the hands, the abdomen, the intestines, the spleen, and the central nervous system. So Mars in retrograde in Virgo influences one to obsessively worry, leading to stomach and bowel troubles, ulcers, inflammation, headaches, and skin rashes. Pay attention to your immediate and personal health needs. Yeah, and then afterwards it says, you might want to consider natural health remedies such as herbs, acupuncture, and detox formulas. Okay, well, we got that out of our system. All right, well, the main theme for today is about nature. My guest, Kay Porter, who's coming on, oh, you're going to love her when she comes on. And I want to set a platform for her and for the rest of you who are listening here. It is about nature. I used that time in the hospital because, you know, I just sat there and had nothing else to do. So I said, let's just ponder without any other source, no looking up on websites about nature. I said, let me just go into what I feel about nature. For me, being in nature is the ultimate in the divine. If I can bring it inside with house plants, with feng shui of the rooms of the house, then I feel like I can bring myself into alignment. I love feng shui. There's another thing. That's another wonderful modality that we can use. In nature, a flower doesn't need your advice to bloom. It has an inner wisdom that knows, it's time to open and it's time to be fertilized with a bee coming flitting by. There's no permission required in all of this. It's just nature. It happens as it happens. And if we can tap into that energy in nature, either by sitting in nature, walking in nature, being in nature, and the word being means to really be. I have a little visualization I want to walk you through in nature. And so as I ruminated about where do I get recharged, feels calm. Now, some places I feel calm. In other places I get this energy boost. And some places I totally get expulsed from the place. Sedona, Arizona, I've only been there once and that was enough. It, you know, when Sedona doesn't want you there, it does a good job of getting you out. Sometimes you plan on staying for 2 days or maybe a week. And if you're supposed to be there, sometimes you'll feel, I need to stay longer or I need to return. Other times, one day, it's time to go. I'm no longer feeling welcomed here. Well, that's what I felt there. Machu Picchu is a place where I go, and about 2 weeks is wonderful. I stay 3 weeks, loved it. When it's time to go, I turn and look at the citadel, and it says, bye, you're done until you come back again. And one time it said, you won't be back for 10 years. I said, oh, please, please. No, 10 years to the day it was when I went back. So you see, in nature, the mountains, the waters, they speak to you when you can tune into them. That gets to be a source of information. Same with Mount Shasta. I took trips with people up there. I kept being drawn to it. Finally, one of my friends says, it's time to move here. And I did for 6 years, and then it was complete. Now, in Eugene, Oregon, Springfield, Oregon, or wherever you are, I want you to think, just kind of take a 360 degree in your mind of just looking around and in your imaginal thinking, where is it that you have this energy boost or you feel so relaxed where the creativity just, it's like you have all these ideas, they just snap, crackle, pop. The veil for you at that place is thinner. During the Halloween season and during the Christmas holidays, people are light and they have a thinner veil around them. They can access the divine, access their higher power. And if you look at the most wonderful place you've been in the whole wide world, I mean, you can go back there anytime. And I think each and every one of us has a place, or maybe multiple places, where we can seek. It may be a cabin in the woods by a lake, and it's so peaceful there. Of course, movies have destroyed a lot of that that concept, so it's kind of a tough one right in there. So looking at nature, and I'd like to walk you through this with a little, it's not, well, it's a visualization. I'm going to walk you through it. If you're driving, please do not drop into this, but if you feel like you can do this while you're sitting there in front of the computer, I want you to just take a nice deep breath and breathing in and breathing out. And I want you to imagine and pretend that you're walking down a beautiful forest path. The trees are above you. They're all around the path, and the path just kind of meanders back through the trees. Like, can you remember a place where you've done this? Yeah, you can. You're walking gently through. You're strolling. You're not rushing, and you're stopping every once in a while to see which tree is calling out to you to kind of come and be there. And if it were in the fall, you would be able to hear the crunch of leaves that have fallen, and you're walking, and they crunch, crunch. If you remember that, you're strolling, strolling, strolling. And then you come to a small meadow, just a little opening, not much, not very big, but you can see the sun shining through, filtering through, and you can hear a babbling brook right there. It's like it was created just for you. And as you go over to the brook, the grass is very soft, not too damp, so you can sit down there, lean yourself against a tree. I want you to just smell that the forest, because the forest, when it's a little damp, it gives off this wonderful effervescent odor. And there are mountain flowers along the babbling brook. Can you hear the babbling, a babble? And babble and babble of the brook. You can put your fingers in the water and just kind of stir it around. It's so clear, you can see to the bottom. You got a few dragonflies flitting back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then you notice, oh, all these thoughts start popping into your head. Imaginary thoughts. Oh, yeah, what if? Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. And you just let your mind meander through, or tiptoe through the tulips, whatever that is. Just let your mind go. And let it muse, the musings, the imagination. It's alive with ideas. 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 And imagine ideas never considered by anyone you've ever talked to. And these thoughts are just for you. Just for you. And there you are as you're living them. I want you to jump right into these ideas. And you're living them in all your glory and nature every time you come back to this place, this imaginary place or this real place. I know a couple of you went to the mountain instead. I know you. So you're imagining these outrageous ideas. And as you're sitting there and listening to the babbling brook, I want you to take out a tablet. There's just actually one right there. And I want you to write down 2 to 5 keywords. And I want you just to yourself, think of these keywords. Just kind of say them inside of your mind, because we want to use those as anchors, as hooks. And you've got them. You've got those 2 to 5 keywords. All right, now we're going to back out of that little meadow. We can always come back. Always come back. I want you to walk back the path. Again, noticing the leaves crunching under your feet. You're strolling, strolling a little bit faster now, a little bit faster, a little bit faster, because you're coming back into your body, back into reality, knowing you can always go back again. The tablet is still with you. You have those 2 to 5 keywords, and I know that you have brought back some great ideas. Any of you out there who would like to call in right now and let me know, and it's good to write these down again, because remember, those were written down in your imaginal realm. I want you to do that. Write them down. Okay. If anyone would like to call in, that would be my greatest desire, is to help you decipher what you've gotten there. I don't think I need to do much, because I think you got it already. All right. I think we're ready to call our guest in, and we'll see. And I know she's been listening. My guest, Kay Porter, will be coming in with us very, very soon. And we'll see what she got out of all of this. I always just hope that they're all right. Very good. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
All right. Welcome to the program, Kate. I mean, again, you were with me yesterday, now we're back again.
Yes.
All right. So were you able to follow it with that little visualization?
I was. I didn't get quite to the end, but yes. And I was imagining, well, my forest path was in the mountains. on a hike to Obsidian Falls, but there is a little meadow there, and the water coming through and looping a certain time of the year anyway. And it was beautiful. Thank you.
Very good. Oh, I'm so thrilled. All right. Well, anything else that you got out of the first part of the radio program?
Well, I thought it was interesting you talking about the several things, actually. The doing your taxes and taking time to, I think you said something to the effect of making a sacred act out of it, you know.
Yes.
I guess I would add to that thanking the universe for your ability to pay taxes, that you actually have something to pay on.
Right.
You know, income and so forth. But I'm a real nature person, and I just, you know, whether you're sitting in it or walking in it or whatever you're doing, I think it's really important. It's a wonderful grounding thing to do, too, especially this time of year when the weather's so horrible. I mean, it's beautiful today, but it's like it's really a good thing to ground yourself and to let go of heavy energy in nature. And you know, you're talking about those different places, Sedona and Machu Picchu and Mount Shasta and so forth, and I was sort of reflecting about the Incan medicine people, shamans, and them talking about actually letting go of heavy energy into the Pachamama. And their belief is when you let go of heavy energy, and that's what they call it as opposed to negative or whatever, you let go of that into Pachamama, which is Mother Earth, that she refines it and transforms it, transmutes it, and then when she's sending energy back up to you, it's refined energy. So I thought that was really cool.
Nice. I like that. And I guess I missed that when they talked about the heavy, you know, there's so many things that one learns when you go to another culture. It just, I want to hear more about your feelings about nature and your experiences that you've had in nature, your stories that you've experienced in nature.
Now?
Now, yes.
Well, let's see. One of the things that I really like, I like to go to sacred sites in different parts of either the U.S. or around the world, actually. And so some of my experiences have been in those places. The first one in Sedona, that was sort of interesting you talking about. It was sort of telling you to go. My experience was, and when I first went, it was so powerful feeling. And this was probably 20, 25 years ago. And I noticed that the last time I went was maybe 10 years ago or so, that I didn't feel the energy as strongly. And I was talking to a psychic friend of mine. She said, well, you know, the energy is shifting there. and it's not as strong as it used to be. And I thought that was interesting. That it's still a really interesting or good place to go, and you can feel the energy there and the different vortexes. Machu Picchu was just fantastic for me, though. And I like sitting in places and just feeling the energy. And I have my journal with me, and I'll, you know, write different things down. I imagine that, you know, nature is speaking to me, and I presume it maybe is. But I write down what either different energies that are there, you know, what they say to me. Sometimes they're real personal things about what I should do in my life. So I like to go places and do things like that. I remember one time in Greece, 10 years ago at least, I was sitting in a in ruins, and the ruins were from a Roman temple of some sort. And that was real interesting. It was odd. It was, you know, just sort of them talking about, or the energy talking about, what they had done there, and it was very bizarre.
Really?
yeah. So, anyway, I enjoyed doing things like that, and I think still in this country, one of the most powerful places around is Mesa Verde. Even though they get, I think, over 1 million visitors a year, you can still do, you know, walk on the trails and walk around. You can't always climb into anything, but it's still very, very vibrant in terms of some sort of energy, which is not negative. I mean, it's just powerful.
Uh-huh. Well, there's been an increase of energy in Mount Shasta with all of the Lemurian energy that has really amped up. They've had more sightings of ships than they've ever had before, of the extraterrestrials coming in. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the amping up of the energy from within, from the Talosians, the Telos underneath the mountain, the civilization that is supposedly there, and the portals that enter. It is, you know, since I've moved away, I've heard that it's, I mean, even the Los Angeles Times had a front page about Machu Picchu, about Mount Shasta.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's, you know, and a lot of people can't tolerate that really intense energy sometimes.
I know.
You know, I mean, I don't think I could ever live there. I like going to visit, and I like the way it feels, but it's really intense.
It is. It's like Roto-Rooter throughout your whole system. I mean, that's kind of a crude way of saying it, but it mm-hmm. is. When you go there and you live there, you're never the same when you leave, because you've experienced, I mean, I don't know what it is, but it just, things change within you.
Well, it probably changes some of your molecular structure or something.
I think so.
That's my guess anyway.
Right. Around the area of Eugene and Springfield, Oregon. I know people are listening in San Diego, upstate New York, and Florida, and other places. And if you want to call in and join in the conversation, please feel free to do so. I am not acquainted with all of the places around here. I know up the McKenzie, when I can get by that street, by the river.
Yes.
Wonderful energy.
There's a lovely trail that goes for 15 or 20 miles called the McKenzie River Trail. And I'm not exactly sure where it starts. I have a visual image of where it starts on the highway. But I'm not quite. It's past McKenzie Bridge in any case, although there, you know, there's little trails there too. But, you know, you can walk for miles on that, and it's really, really lovely energy. And one of the places I love the most, and not everybody, you know, we have different feelings about different places here. I've talked to different friends. I love going to Mount Pisgah and going up there. I feel very safe there. I don't feel as comfortable on Spencer's Butte because at Pisgah, I feel as a single, you know, if I'm by myself as a woman, I feel comfortable hiking there by myself. On uh-huh. Spencer's Butte, I don't feel so comfortable, and I know a lot of cars have been broken in in the parking lot because it is sort of hidden back there, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I don't really hike Spencer's Butte so much, but I like going up into Hendricks Park as well. And sitting, you know, there is that little green patch in there among the trees, and you can sit there if it hasn't been pouring like it has been lately. You can sit on the grass or on the rock, you know, and lean against those huge trees, and it's very soothing, I think.
Nice.
So those are the places I prefer. You know, one of the things that I'm on my walking group, the Spirit of Walkers walking group, some of the feedback that I've gotten from people is that since we meet every Saturday to walk, some of the feedback after each year that people have said have been things like, I never got to experience before the change in seasons and walking every week like that. I just, you know, noticed all the things coming up and the trees blooming or the trees, you know, like the cottonwood trees dropping their whatever those little sticky things are that they drop and the smell
right.
of it. And I just remember several people have said that was one of the most wonderful experiences of being in the group was walking on the trail and noticing the changes in the seasons over the period of 7 or 8 months, you know, and that was really interesting to me.
And that's part of nature, to live in some place where we do have the four seasons, not as pronounced maybe as in the Midwest. However, there is a change of from spring. You can tell.
Oh,
when,
yeah.
But, you know, some places know. Like in Hawaii, it's just, you know, pretty much the same all the time. There is a colder season, however.
Yeah, it does have its changes, too, though. But,
yeah.
Well, just even recently with all this rain, a lot of times I walk down on the bike trail, and there's a – when you go down from Franklin Boulevard down past the what used to be the Black Angus place, and there's the Dutch Brothers there, you just go down that trail, and you go underneath the railroad tracks through a little teeny tunnel, and you come out on the other side, and you're – right next to the river. I love watching the level. There's a sign there that's an intake place, and so there's this sign that's a yellowed big triangular sign that's in the river. I don't even know what it says except something caution about, you know, water or whatever. Anyway, it's always interesting to me to gauge the level of how high the river is against that sign. Usually it's about 6 inches or a foot below the bottom of the sign. Well,
uh-huh.
The last 3 days, it's been like 2 inches from the metal top of the sign. You can't even see the sign at all.
Really?
So, yeah, you know, and during the night when they're letting water out of the dams and stuff because they have to keep moving it out, you can see where the debris has actually come up over the top of the trail, you know, and so there's leaves and sort of debris from the river. It's not that high during the day, but I love just sort of noticing different changes like that. I'm grateful that we're not getting a lot of huge amount of flooding here, but I mean, you know, we have gotten some, but I love watching, you know, the changes.
And this brings in the sensitivity of us as humans and spiritual beings of noticing and being in that energy of nature. We were talking about, you know, the real vortexes, and every place can be a vortex. I mean, there's energy there. It's just more
mm-hmm.
subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And to be aware, and that's the awakening that many are starting to experience. And one of the nurses engaged in a conversation with her because I said I was going to do a radio program about nature. And she says, you know, my kids are, you know, I try to get them out in nature as much as possible because that's just not focused upon. And I said, it's almost like cursive in writing. Anymore, they're dropping out cursive writing in lieu of the typing.
Yeah.
So it's the same concept. What's being eliminated is detrimental to the young children.
Well, I think, yeah, it sort of is up to the parents to get the kids out, and it's difficult for them to do that. I mean, they'd rather be electronically connected a lot of times.
I know.
So there's some resistance.
I know.
But I think it's really important. I mean, just to even, you know, walk around or sit on the ground or whatever is just, it gets you back in your body and more connected with yourself, in my opinion.
Right. When you're walking, I know I used to walk around a reservoir 3 miles in Lafayette, California. And 3 miles, I mean, you'd catch up to somebody and you'd pass them, or they'd catch up with you, or you'd meet someone going the opposite direction. And it was such, I mean, everyone acknowledged the other ones. It was sometimes they bow.
Uh-huh,
or,
uh-huh.
Because they were in that 3 mile mode zone, I guess. And it was like everyone that they met was a partner in nature with them.
You know, I hadn't thought about that, but a lot of times on the bike trail, when I'm walking with friends, people always speak, and I always speak to other people on the trail, too. You know? That doesn't usually happen in town, necessarily, or at the university or anything, because there's so many people.
I know, and I think it would behoove us to do more of that connecting. And again, I'd like to encourage you to call in. We would like to have you join us in the conversation about nature and how you connect with nature. I just want to leave that, and Seth will just break in on our conversation. I've given him permission to do that.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you have a chance to pick any cards today?
I haven't. I'm going to lead out with your birthday card, because your birthday is the 29th, correct?
Yes.
And you are an Aquarian.
Oh, yes.
Always ahead of the pack. So as I added January, that's a number 1 to number 29 to 2012, when you are having your birthday, and I added that up, and that added up to a 7, which is the Chariot card.
Okay.
So for the Chariot card for you, here's your reading for the year.
Okay, thank
last
you.
Year, yeah. Is that I want you to visualize yourself sitting in a chariot. Above, in the canopy above the chariot, it has the words abracadabra, which means magic. So this year is about magic. It is you, and it shows this individual, this charioteer, in a full knight's armor. Headdress, you know, it has the helmet and everything, sitting in meditation.
Huh.
So that indicates that your magic comes from going inward, mm-hmm. as does mine. That's what's coming up for me, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That you go inward, and then on the breastplate, there are 10 crystals. Hmm. So crystals will become more important. These represent past lifetimes that will come forward, and you're going to experience a full-on knowing about some gifts and talents that you had from past lifetimes. And it could be from of your writing and your orator times in the times of the Romans. Because chariots I always associate with the Romans, you know, racing mm-hmm. around and around.
Mm-hmm.
The kicker on this particular card is there are no horses. And the magic for you as in this meditation of going inward and being inward driven, the 4 fixed signs of the zodiac. And the 4 fixed signs of the zodiac are Leo and Taurus. And their feet have been switched. Their features have been switched. So Leo is being creative, super creative. And Taurus says, yeah, let's manifest it. The other two are Scorpio and Aquarius, and that Scorpio is being passionate about what you're doing, and Aquarius, because you are an Aquarius, is to be innovative, ahead of your time. So that's the way you're going to be moving the chariot, by being inward driven,
mm-hmm.
and instead of expecting anything external to move you, it's the creativity, mm-hmm. manifesting, passion, and being ahead of your time.
Good.
So that's what your number 7 is, the Chariot card.
Well, I've always liked 7.
I know.
It's a nice number.
Yeah. So I'm going to pick four. I'm going to pick four cards for all of us. So sure. I didn't pick them ahead of time.
Yeah, that's all right.
So you pick a number. I'll pick a number, and all of you out there pick a number.
Okay.
What number do you want?
11.
No, we're only going to have four cards.
I'm sorry. What do you mean, pick a number?
There's going to be four cards. And
the
I'm
first,
gonna pull.
Second, third, or fourth, you mean?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't explain that one well. So either 1, 2, 3, or 4, because I'm going to pick them in order.
Okay, which one.
You're going to take one.
Sure.
I'm going to take... All right. Let's have Rose. Hi, Rose.
Hi. I just began to listen about 4 or 5 minutes ago, and my ears perked when you mentioned Eugene and Mount Shasta, because we had friends who lived in Eugene, and we would drive out there. And I am always surprised that not more people know about that whole area, because it is totally amazing. Totally, totally amazing. I did not experience what you experienced when you were out there, but I remember vividly, for instance, that there are Shasta Caverns, and the Shasta Lake, and the Avenue of the Giants, which is just something incredible. And I am always in awe of that area, and I'm always surprised that not many people are aware of it.
Where are you from, Rose?
I live from? In Los Angeles. I'm calling from Los Angeles. I've lived in Los Angeles since 1964.
Well.
And we've traveled the West extensively. And so it's not as if we don't. I mean, the magnitude of everything in the West is unexplainable to other people, I think.
It definitely is.
Like, you know, you tell someone about Utah or the Grand Canyon, or, you know, the painted desert. but as I said, Eugene, you know, the rivers, above all, Shasta, it is a very special place. And, you know, they have the caverns, but what happens is, and everything is very rudimentary, or has been very rudimentary until recently. The most amazing thing is that you go into these caverns, and, you know, it's like, oh, my God, what happens if this young girl that is guiding us, you know, faints? I mean, we'd never be able to go back to back
so
to the
Rose,
world.
Rose, we would like, you know, we're going to be pulling some cards here. So I'm going to, because we've got some more people calling in. I want you to stay on and listen. Would you do that for me, Rose?
Certainly.
Is there any particular question you have?
What's in my future? That's what everybody wants to know.
All right. We'll put that down for you, Rose. What's in my future? And you, what number would you like between, we haven't pulled the cards yet. Would you like card number 1, 2, 3, or 4?
4.
You want number 4. Very good. Okay, you have number 4, and Kay has number 1. We'll see whether Teresa wants to play this game also. Thanks for calling in, Rose. We love you.
Okay, thank you. I love you, too. Thanks for the work you do.
Okay, and stay tuned, because when we get to number 4, that's information for you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and we have Teresa on line 2. Welcome, Teresa.
Hi, good evening. Thank you. That's funny. I couldn't decide. I'm like, I want 2 and 4, but I settled on 4.
You settled on 4. Okay. Teresa, what is your question? And where are you
know,
calling?
I just often, you know, water seems to, I don't know if there's something special about water or different. I'm an earth sign. I'm a Taurus, but there's just something about water that changes my whole countenance, and you know, for instance, if I just get in and take in a shower, a lot of times I'm sort of meditate as I'm showering, not even really meaning to, but it can change everything. So I just wanted to find out, what is it about water?
And Kate, do you have any comment for her before we move on?
Well, the two things that were coming to mind, I thought about one of my friends that for years she would say, oh, yeah, after I come home from work, I shower, and I just shower off the day and get rid of all that energy off of me. And so I thought of that, and then I thought about the water is connected with emotions and feelings. And so probably the act of either being in it or showering in it would, you know, release emotions or let go of some of the emotions, and I think it just moves energy more than anything else.
Okay.
And, Teresa, I want you to also stay tuned because we're getting ready to pull these cards.
Sure, thank you.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, did I ask where she was from?
No, you didn't.
I did not. Mm. Okay, well, I think we're ready to go unless there's somebody else who wants to pop in. And you've picked number four. No, you picked number one,
Kay. Number one.
I think I'm going to go with number two.
Okay.
Which leaves, and Teresa wanted actually two and four. You got it. And so number three, we'll see what that is. And then, of course, Kay, I want you to pipe in and give your input for these. The first card is the Nine of Discs. I'll start it with just a little bit about the Nine of Discs. It's about physical gain. It is about increasing in finances. It is about the balance of the masculine and feminine. It is about wisdom, creativity, and love, all mixed together. So what does that mean to you? Because you picked number one. What does that mean to you? Because that's your card.
Okay, let's see. You said physical gain,
increasing finances, et cetera, yes.
Yeah, and wisdom, creativity, and balancing the male and female?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that well, for me, it's just more information about some of the things that are going to be important in writing the two books that I'm writing this year. So I don't know about the physical gain, but that might be just from the process itself of getting book contracts or whatever. But the wisdom, the creativity, the balancing male and female, the books are... One is a revision of The Mental Athlete, which is one of my books that's been out forever. And the other one is I'm not talking about what it's about, but it's sort of a sequel, I guess you'd call it, to The Mental Athlete. But in any case, it is with males and females as athletes and some of those issues around there. So that would be relevant for me in terms of remembering to address a lot of those things. And
I do
have a section in Nature about things, too, and also energy psychology in the new book, The Mental Athlete, so the revision, anyway.
I got an echo here. psychology, I like that.
Uh-huh. Well, energy psychology, you know, includes EFT, which is the Emotional Freedom Technique, which is a tapping for releasing different kinds of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I also practice the rapid eye therapy, which is blinking and is similar to something called EMDR, which is a blinking therapy which releases stresses and all sorts of, what would I call it, just issues that people have. So I've applied these things. This is sort of a new application to using it in sports psychology techniques. So,
excellent.
Anyway, so that's
very
what that,
good.
That's what that means to me.
Okay, card number two, the Princess of Cups, which is a card of mastery. And this card is, cups represent the emotions, which is water. On the card, there are sea snakes, which are definitely huge, which means transformation, emotional transformation. The princess is floating in the above the water. She's actually in the water, and she's letting go of a lotus, which says, let go of what you thought you were going to be doing And so with Rose, who wanted to something about the future, even though she didn't pick this card, number two, it's about letting go of, for the future and getting in touch with spirit and know that you're going to be taken care of. There's a little turtle on a seashell, and the turtle is peeking out of the shell, feeling very safe. Just like you were mentioning being safe when you went to Mount Pisgah,
mm-hmm.
but not when you went to Spencer Butte.
Mm-hmm.
So as you let go, know that, that God, Goddess, all that is not going to put you in a harmful way as there, you know, if you're being moved into your right livelihood or your what's coming up next. Ooh, and the next one, Queen of Cups, the number three card. No one picked that. Number three card is the queen who is behind the veil. By going inward, you shall find the next step. What's here for you? The bigger picture during this time, this next 2-3 months is so important that you find meditation time. Meditation, meditation, and more meditation. Here comes number four. So for this is for Rose and for Teresa. Number six of Wands, spiritual victory. Everything is turned towards center. It's Jupiter in Leo, and Jupiter says expanding. There are opportunities coming to you. In Leo, Leo represents creativity. So for all of us who are playing this game, the answer to what we've been looking for is to make sure that the light is on. Like Tom Baudet says, Motel 6, leave the light on. So keep your inner light burning. Stay connected to source, to spirit, through meditation. And it's moving you forward. Everything is bright and light in this card. Woo! Nice set
great.
Of cards.
That's really good.
It is. So what I want to do now, Kay, is I want you to give the information about your walking group and your book and any other pieces of information. We've got, you know, give you about 2-3 minutes.
Okay. My walking group, I'm in Eugene, Oregon, and my walking group is something called the Spirited Walkers. And it's actually a half marathon, full marathon training group to walk the marathon or half marathon, but people don't always, have to complete that goal. I mean, it's mainly to get you out the door, and we only meet once a week on Saturdays at 9 o'clock at Oakway, and we walk from there, and we walk on the bike trail from there. I just started this year's group. I've been doing it for 13 years now, but this group just started in the last couple of weeks. And so it's mainly a way to get in shape and, walk off some of the extra weight that we might have put on. And I also have a sit-down meeting every month with information. And it's $150 for the whole 8-month training. And after you join, I have people come back the next year and I never charge them again. It's just a sort of a gift
nice.
That I give to the community. So that's what that is. And it's been wonderful. I in the past have run and stuff, and I've run marathons and done a lot of different things. But right now I'm just saving my knees for my old age, I guess you'd say. So I walk a lot, but I still walk about 20 or 25 miles a week, so quite a bit. And so that's that. And then my book is called The Mental Athlete, and my website is also called The Mental Athlete. So if you go online, you can find that. And one of the things that I like so much about my website is that you can order, the book from Amazon.com. I don't send it out myself. I could, but I just don't. But I have about 30 downloaded guided visualizations for all sorts of different sports, but also things like relaxation. They're guided visualizations, or you could call them guided meditations, I suppose. Some are for dealing with anger or dealing with fear or healing injury. People have downloaded a lot of the healing injury or pain control And they're about 15 minutes long, and you can download them into your computer, and then you put them on your iPad or iPod or something, your MP3 device. So I've wanted to do that for years, to have it online, so, you know, it's not something that's, you have to pay a little bit for it, but it's not something that has to be mailed and, you know, on a CD or anything. So
right.
That's really great, and I hear from people all over the world, actually. I have a regular counseling practice here in Eugene. I counsel just regular people plus athletes for peak performance, but also just regular, if you're depressed or you're getting a divorce or whatever. I'm a counselor, a general counselor, but then I have this sports psychology practice with all sorts of different athletes, from high school to elite levels and all different sports. So it's very rewarding for me to do all that, and I actually have also worked with people on the phone when they're, you know, in Scotland or something.
Right.
We'll do either a Skype or something on the phone for sessions. So that's the other thing that I do. So
how about your email, or so they can get
my
in touch
email
with you?
Is kayporter1, KAYPORTER1, the number one, at comcast.net. And my phone number is 541-342-6875, and all this information is on my website as well. And the website, again, is thementalathlete.com. If you go on Google and you put Kay Porter in Eugene or something like that, there'll be a lot of things that come up for me. So I'm pretty
Perfect.
Easy to find.
Good. We like that. Well,
yeah.
Thanks for coming on and playing with in this sandbox. I love that.
Well, thank you so much. So is it time for me to hang up then? Or
no, just hang on. I got a couple more minutes. I'm going to close out the show.
Okay.
So I'll do my close for so if you would like to get in touch with me, Judith Conrad, radio.com, and there you'll find my information about the radio. If you are interested in the intuitive, it's on eugeneintuitive.com. And I have a coaching website also, which is acoachforallreasons.com. They're all coming under one heading pretty quick, as soon as my techie gets in alignment with what we're doing. And so I'd love to have you email me, Judith, at judithconradradio.com. If you didn't pick a number, if you want to pick a number, you can go to the archives on judithconradradio.com or here at BBS Radio. There are a ton of people. I'd love it if you come through my website. I get credit for that. Okay, and so I will be back with you on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of every week, and it's from 4 to 5. Tell your friends to tune in. Always some kind of a reading, always some kind of an inspirational theme, and I bring in great guests. So I'm going to close. I want to remind each and every one of you out there that who you are makes a difference.
You have been listening to the Good News Radio Program with Judith Conrad. To email Judith Conrad, go to judith@judithconradradio.com.